18 minutes after 5 o'clock at Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. Okay, let's talk pests a little bit. Rebecca Fife is here from Landmark Pest Management. Rebecca, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
So Rebecca can answer any question you have about wildlife, or do you do grubs, Rebecca?
I do. Did you hear about that crazy park that got covered in grubs?
Just overwhelmed by grubs?
Yeah, it did. So that would be kind of like having an entire park that was covered in spaghetti. It would just be sort of gross,
and
right?
So, but they come out in the spring, right?
They do, yeah. So they spend 2 to 3 years of their life cycle underground, where they grow from a tiny grub to a medium-sized grub to a very large grub. And when they get to be a large grub, they eat a lot of the roots of plants, and they can be pretty destructive. So when they get overpopulated like this, it's bad news.
And so that's how you can tell, right? If you got like circles of dead grass in your yard, you probably have a grub issue.
That's one of the things that can cause circles of dead grass, yes. And another way to tell if you have a grub issue is you'll find conical holes, so cone-shaped holes, and that is when skunks undertake a behavior called grubbing, and they dig conical holes to eat up the grubs.
I've got them all over my yard. I've got dozens of conical skunk holes.
So, did you ever think of putting up a camera so that you can get some night footage, a motion-activated camera?
I just have to walk outside in the evening. Sharon sees them all the time. Yeah, did you say cool? Is that what you said, Rebecca?
Not cool, not
Rebecca
cool.
Fife is with us from Landmark Pest Management. If you've got a question about pests in your yard. We had a family living under our shed. And last week I went out in front yard and backyard, all sorts of circles everywhere. I know exactly what you're talking about. And so what the skunks are going to be there, but I can do something about the grubs, right? And so maybe that tells me I need to put something down to control the grubs for next year.
Depends how many of the conical holes you have. So if you only have a few or a couple dozen and it's not ruining your whole yard, I would not do anything about it because that's imbalance. That's normal and natural. However, when there's a large population like there was at Wells Park, and you know, just per foot there's dozens or even hundreds, that's when you really need to do something about it. Because you know, Wells Park, I think it got just a little bit of flooding, and all of the larvae came up at once, and then it was stinky, and they were everywhere, so nobody wants that to happen.
Grub larvae, I love that. That's a great topic. It sticks around, it's like Velcro. Okay, so I'm in my shed earlier this week, standing there quietly, and out, you know, comes this mouse from the corner, and it jumps out. And it, you know, I don't move. I'm very still. So it's, and then it stops in the kind of the middle of the floor. It's kind of a cute, you know, you could see its stomach beating, the heart beating on the skin. You know, we had probably about 30 seconds where we just kind of watched each other. And then I stomped on it. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. it ran out. But if I've just got, if I got mice in my shed, should I just give it to them? I mean, what is there no
absolutely.
Point in killing them?
Yeah, kill them.
I should kill them?
Yeah, kill them. Oh, okay. So every mouse that you have in your shed begets other mice. So they breed really quickly, and I think that you should have traps out all the time. So you and I had talked about whether or not you can seal up the structure.
Right.
So for anyone that it's feasible for to seal mice out, that's absolutely the way to go.
Yeah.
But if you can't seal them out of a structure, it's really important to have control in place.
Even though the shed's in the backyard, I should still control them because they're going to mate like crazy and then end up in my basement.
Yeah, I think so. You can, you know, a really good trap to put in a shed is called a multi-catch trap, and multiple mice go in there over time. So if you use a snap trap, once the trap snaps, it's got its mouse and it doesn't work anymore. So you can't catch any more mice until you remove it. But a multi-catch trap, a mouse goes in, it urinates in there. Sorry for being gross, but my whole profession is gross, the basis of what I do.
Hey, well, if you can't in a shed, where can you? Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So the mouse goes in the multi-catch trap, urinates in there. The pheromones are actually very attractive to other mice. That shows mice where the party is, and you'll catch multiple mice in the same trap.
All right, let's go to the phones. Bob has called with a curious question to me. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm well. What's your question?
Okay, my question from Miss Rebecca. Last year, I had what I consider my normal run of wildlife. I had deer, I had raccoons, I had bunny rabbits, I had possums. everything. Now, that's cool. This year, my populations are like almost zero.
Huh.
I don't know why.
Where do you live, Bob?
Chesterton,
Indiana. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold for the answer. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. What do you think, Rebecca?
So there are a lot of different factors that cause wildlife populations to fluctuate. So it makes me wonder, did the coyote population increase in Bob's area? And then is that controlling the population of other wildlife? Coyotes are pretty reclusive, so that population could have increased without Bob noticing it. Another thing is wildlife population levels are sort of like a pendulum where they go from, you know, low disease levels and high populations to higher disease levels, which control populations and knock them down. So there may have been, you know, a very hyper-local shift with diseases like leptospirosis or distemper that are generally harmless to humans. Well, humans can get leptospirosis, but we don't likely contact it from wildlife. Distemper we can't get. And then that reduces the wildlife population.
I've got to say, though, I was saying to my wife just recently, I haven't seen a coyote in a long time, and we used to see them. We had one trot down our driveway every night at 8:04, and I have not seen many at all.
I've seen fewer this year as well, and we've seen more reports of coyotes with really severe dermatitic mange, which makes them less likely to survive the winter because it affects the thickness of their coat. We've also gotten, you know, reports of coyotes, you know, having distemper. So maybe the coyotes got hit with more diseases this year that controlled their population a little bit. But again, wildlife populations in relation to disease is like a pendulum. So it's going to swing back to the higher end of the population and then the lower end of the population. And this is a natural cycle.
Okay, real quick, someone has texted about chipmunks digging around their foundation. Is there any way to fix that problem?
Yeah, so chipmunks are a non-protected mammal in Illinois. So while you could have them humanely trapped with a wildlife trap, you can also kill them with snap traps like you would mice and rats. In many other states, they're categorized as protected wildlife, and you know can only humanely trap and relocate them. But
so you
in
want
Illinois,
us to put out like a rat trap for Alvin? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I want you to be really careful and make sure it's in a tamper-resistant locking housing so that you don't accidentally catch, you know, a squirrel or an animal that is protected, or, God forbid, a bird of prey if it has visible bait in it. So it does need to be in a housing if you do put out snap traps to control chipmunks, but that would be legal in Illinois because chipmunks are not mentioned in the wildlife code.
All right, Rich has a question about centipedes. Oops, wrong line there. Sorry about that. Oops, I did it again. Let's try. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to say hello to Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Rebecca.
I'm sorry about that.
Hi.
No problem. I live on a second floor of an apartment building, and since the wet weather, we seem to have a lot of centipedes, and I didn't know what to put down. We have nice carpeting in the stairwells and wood floors in the apartments. Is there something I can put down that will help get rid of these guys? Because they're awfully fast. They're hard to get them. They're moving fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Suggestion.
Yeah, I'm like the nerdiest bug girl there is, and if anything even freaks me out, it's centipedes. So I really feel for you. So you're talking about house centipedes. They have really long legs. They're incredibly fast, and they are a top predator in the insect world inside your home. So the reason that they're in your home is that they're eating other insect pest species. So there's not much you can do directly to reduce centipede populations other than squish them. But what you can do indirectly that will reduce their populations is you can have a perimeter treatment, a barrier treatment to help keep crawling insects out of your home, applied around the perimeter of your home 2 to 4 times a year. And then there will be less for centipedes to eat, and that will control the centipede population.
Rich, thank you for the call. I hope that helps.
I just want to say, Steve, that Rebecca's company comes into our building once a month and does a nice job.
Oh, I'm sure
far
she does.
As rats and stuff. So, and they do a good job. So thank you so much
for the suggestion.
Thanks for the call, Rich, and I'm sure Rebecca appreciates that. Rebecca, it always goes too fast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Steve.
Next time, the future of the roly-poly. We'll talk again. And she's gone. It's Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up. And then after that, David Hochberg stops by to help with your mortgage. WGN.